It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. Barely not quite winter in the 30s, low 40s, so there's not much snow around. People are kind of cranky as well. Daryl and Marilyn Toller had been driving each other crazy with this gerbil who got lost in their house. Gerbil named Pookie, and it's the kid's gerbil. Of course, the kids are long gone, and the gerbil lives on and on and on and on, and got out of his little cage, and he's been loose for 10 days. They keep waiting for this gerbil to get hungry and come for something to eat or to die, but nothing seems to be going on. They can hear him sometimes in the walls. 10 days they've been living with this gerbil around. Daryl worries about rabies, and Marilyn woke up the other morning and she found gerbil droppings on the quilt just below her chin. gives you pause for thought. Daryl got the shotgun out. He heard scratching in the walls. He would have blasted away, but she managed to stop him. They've had some bills chewed up by this gerbil that Daryl was just getting ready to mail off, been chewing on toilet paper, God help him, and chewing on all sorts of little things. And then he chewed the top two pages of their income tax return. Daryl called up the IRS and explained to the woman on the phone what had happened, and she laughed like he'd never heard anybody laugh before in an official position. She'd been working for the IRS for 17 years, and that was one story she had yet to hear. She was telling other people in the office. You could hear people wheezing and chortling and screeching, all these people at the IRS. No, they're going crazy because of this gerbil, this little animal walking around in the walls, somewhere in the walls. So they bought a ticket to Tucson. It's a cheap airline ticket. It's by way of Albany, New York, and Toronto. And if they don't resolve this pretty soon, they're gonna take off, and who knows how long they will stay out there on the desert. It's because people don't have snow to shovel, they have to find other things to do than to sit and to watch television, so they are cleaning their garages, their basements, arranging the things in their basements, the basement, the archive, your historical collection of your early life, all those embarrassing things you'd hate to have your children ever find, your things from the 1970s, pictures of you with that big mustache and those the long chops on the side of your face and that weird hair and those enormous glasses that make you look like a demented insect. And the clothes and the vests with the fringe and all of the rest of it, gypsy stuff. And the boots, where'd you ever come up with all that stuff? And your writings from back then. Oh, good Lord, if your children ever came across this, these piles of yellow legal pads with your thoughts about life when you were in your early 20s and that long poem that you wrote, unpublished, thank you, Lord. Oh, Fragments of Consciousness, it was called, that long poem that begins, my life is a rainbow in a prism of a teardrop. My life is a child weeping at the bus stop. Oh, no. Why do you keep all of that? It's because if you destroyed them, then nobody would know what a sensitive person you used to be. But who really wants to know? Your children. Oh, they would give anything. Those cruel satirists, your children. So you have to arrange this stuff and put it into cardboard boxes and tape it shut. No, don't tape it. That's going to give that away. No, leave the lid kind of loose and don't write personal on it. And write canceled check blanks, 1974 to 1995, and see if that doesn't do the trick. No, you want to keep the children away from that. Irene Bunsen been sick. She'd been cleaning house. lot of viruses, you know, winter kills off in this mild weather. They persist. They last weeks and weeks. She's been feverish and achy and feels depressed and achy. But she's been vacuuming the kids' bedrooms. Nobody lives in them now. They're guest rooms for the kids and their kids when they come back. Nobody. She vacuumed under the beds for the first time in 20, 30 years. And sounded like she was vacuuming up gravel, big clunking, clanking sounds. She didn't even bother to look at what it was. She was in a cleaning mood. No, people feel ill this time of year because it's been so warm. That's the whole deal. Kids staying home from school and they lie in bed and they watch movies on their computer, and that makes them feel even worse. To watch a movie on an 18-inch screen is depressing. It's deeply, deeply depressing. Movies are supposed to be enormous, and to lie in bed when you're feverish and achy and you see Napoleon's army marching toward Moscow and cannons and horses, and it's all within 18 inches, it is depressing. It makes you want to go and eat toilet bowl cleanser. It just makes you horrible. Person needs grandeur, and we have grandeur with winter. Winter is so beautiful. You walk out on a winter night when the snow is falling and there's a moon out and the world is dazzling. Light comes up from the ground. You walk out across the snowy field and through the birch trees. You and her and her friend and this other guy in your long coats and your scarves, and you walk out into the moonlight, you walk out on the ice and across the lake, and you have this feeling of grandeur and transcendence. You feel this lightness of being as you walk out. You walk out across the great lake as the snow is falling around you, and if a bear were to walk out of that line of trees and motion to you, you would follow him. You would follow him into the woods. You're in a fairy tale now. If 47 white swans were to land beside you and sing in their high soprano voices, you would listen to it. If an old man would walk up to you and speak Russian and offer you a bowl of soup, you would eat the soup. And if the soup made you 17 years old again, this would not surprise you. Winter is an amazing, magical, beautiful time, and without it, we're lost. People try to compensate for it by eating melted cheese. That's how we overcome depression in Lake Wobegon. So the special down at the cafe is beer cheese soup and the grilled cheese sandwich, and you have your chocolate cake with cream cheese frosting, and people feel low. They just feel cranky and out of sorts. Darlene down at the Chatterbox got her hair colored at the Bon Marché Beauty Salon, but Luann was not there, who usually does the coloring, and Lois did it instead, and it came out wrong. She meant it to be auburn, and it came out a bright red, which has been turning brighter and brighter. All week it's been turning into a sort of an orange. It looks like her head is on fire. And she's gotten so much guff about it from the patrons at the Chatterbox. She was going to go in and have Luann redo it, but now so many people have been giving her a hard time, she's not going to. She's just going to put her back up against it. She's not going to bend to all this teasing. Well, what do you call that color? Is that inflammation surprise, Darlene? No, it's not, Mr. Berge. I call this winter sunrise. I'm sorry if you don't like it. My boyfriend likes it. Oh, your boyfriend. Oh, they're curious about the boyfriend. So when are we going to get to meet him, Darlene? Oh, I don't know. Whenever he and I get tired of hanging out together, then I guess I'll bring him around for you to have a look at. Oh, Darlene has been very perky now ever since the first of the year. And a couple nights every week she's been not coming home. People in a town this size notice these things. She's very happy. She's very lighthearted. Going to see this man. Her car has never been so clean as it's been January, February. Was he work at a car wash? Oh, well. I can't tell you everything, Mr. Berge. She's a happy woman. He's a Pentecostal. She never was in love with a Pentecostal before. People who dance and sing in church, and they speak in odd languages, and they put their hands on each other, and they heal each other. She never encountered this in the Lutheran church. He's Pentecostal, and ever so often she's been in the midst of him and his family, and she's felt this odd vibration and this heat, something going on around her. She was not aware of this ever before in her life. It's an exciting time for an old waitress. Every day after the lunch rush, she goes home to her apartment up above Skoglund's Five and Dime, and she lies down on the couch, and she pulls a big fuzzy blanket up over her, and she has her afternoon nap, her favorite time of the day. She always can put herself to sleep by just imagining that she is walking in the moonlight out towards the lake. Snow is falling. She walks across the field, light coming up from the ground. She walks out in the moonlight, and before she gets halfway across the lake, she is fast asleep. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.